Let's get to George Baburas, head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, very nice to have you with us here. Thanks very much. So I want to design an arbitrage bet. I need your big brain to help me do it. Tacking between these two notions. One is that the Fed rate hikes at a slower pace is supportive for markets, up against the other, which is that the Fed commentary is hawkish and is negative for markets. So what do we do?
Good morning for here in Melbourne. Obviously, that's the key question. And it's actually quite predictive. And that is, since October, we've got early signs of peak bond yields, the inversion, peak inflation, inputs slowing, and has led to that scenario of increasing Fed funds rates narrative at a decreasing rate. But the hawkishness is there front and center. And to be fair, that's predictive. And that is the rollover of the bond yields and the rollover of peak inflation has led to that rally since October. But it's about, where do we go for calendar 2023 from here? So that narrative would persist. The markets are obviously saying, the Fed, we're second guessing you. We believe you'll be cutting rates by the end of 23 into 24. And the Fed's obviously going to remain hawkish as long as possible to ensure those inputs on core inflation continue their transition lower. There is a risk then the second half of next year that there'll be, as inflation falls on the annual rate, it starts picking up a little bit before it goes back down again in 24. There is that risk in the Fed funds hawkish nature. But that's still a core view for most markets, and that is slowdown in global growth in 23. Risk assets obviously rally once you get the confirmation of that. You've got the desynchronization globally, stimulus coming out of Latin America, stimulus coming out of China, and that's got a cushion global growth. But that narrative of the Fed funds means, where do I look elsewhere out of the US, and are emerging markets reasonable here, and is Europe reasonable here? That's basically the outputs that come from that dichotomy of the Fed funds rate remaining hawkish.
If it's funny, because if I ask you the question, so are stocks going to go up or down next year? And your answer is yes.
Yeah. So risk assets to appreciate 1 year forward, with obviously we all know annualized vol. You're looking for 10% expected return from equity asset class with a 15 to 18% annualized vol. So we know that's quite risky. But the point to reinforce here is that what are the downgrades for US equities? Where's the bottom for there? And the upside is quite limited versus previous cycles. And the upside could be as little as 5% capital before the cushion of the dividend for US equities, as an example, because of the volatility in bond markets. But it's a pro-risk 1 year forward, cautiously optimistic. PE, VC, property, low geared, CPI protection, infrastructure, they all will be the beneficiaries. But looking at the equity asset class, it still seems reasonable on valuations 1 year forward to persist. And when do you go overweight? Sometime in the first half of 23.
And cool. What about, where do you go overweight? We've had some encouraging news out of China from the work conference. Our last guest was quite optimistic about Chinese equities as well. Is this an area to go overweight in?
Yeah, so we have been so underweight Chinese equities from the first half of 21, like most global fund managers. And we'll continue to play China reopening internally, which is a very big stimulus, via exporters into China through commodities, metals, of all types, soft commodities, hard energy, etc. But we still like in that overweight within Southeast Asia, and we like Japan, Southeast Asia, so Korea, Singapore, Australia's a cushion for a dividend, love Indonesia. Those sort of thematics will be quite beneficial for the region. And everything's lining up. This is predictive that the Southeast Asia region may be outperforming other equity markets around the world 1 year forward. And that obviously depends on what China does and how they coordinate the stimulus. It's okay to be internally opening up and not allow international travel, but how does the PBOC and Beijing combine? It's that old, if I can be a bit cheeky here, tongue in cheek, but it's like the old Russian proverb is that in China going forward, the future is certain. It's only the past that's unpredictable, because they've obviously got more control over their economy than ever before. It makes it very difficult for us to be buying future earnings in China specifically, but the stimulus there will be indicative of the region benefiting. And that seems to be a low risk way to play it. Or alternatively, if you're more bullish, you can play via German equities that are very much aligned into the Chinese economy. And then if you really like China and you believe in it, then just go right into Chinese equities. But we just think it's a bit early to do that, given the experiences we've seen in our portfolios from early 21.
All right, George, where can I find some dividends that are safe, safe from being cut?
Yeah, well, that's the other point, is that the cushion of dividends, and this is a catch-22, dividends at the risk of being cut, particularly with what's happening with the slowing economy and the earnings downgrade. So you're looking for companies, obviously, the consistent payout ratios, low gearing, et cetera. And it's going to be very difficult. But in aggregate, the dividend cut should be quite low coming out of the US, parts of Australia, parts of the UK. But the risk here is that non-traditional sectors are coming in to contribute to the dividend, and that is materials and energy. And there's a regulatory risk going right across the globe. And every time someone sees a headline of price caps of energy and get a Google sort of download of that, that is a risk to future earnings and a potential dividend cut from the sector that's probably not priced in. So dividends are a cushion, but to be cut, to the degree of cut, we don't know. And that is why the ultimate place to play one year forward is 2 to 3 year senior unsecured investment grade corporates in the developed world. Good industrials, some diversified financials, be wary of energy taking profits. It's done well year to date in some materials, potential dividend cuts there. But those two asset classes, and then PE, VC and property, particularly in the property that's got CPI hedges, low LVR, high LVRs, anything towards 50% makes it uneconomical 1 year forward, given the dilemma of income received versus debt repayments. I just said as much as I could across the capital structure or the asset classes, but the volatility won't be as bad in 23 as 22, but it's not going away. And unfortunately, cash rates are staying high in the developed world, even though Latin America and China are stimulating. And inflation is coming off, but has the risk of rebounding 1 year forward. And that will be something that you need to be cognizant about. A messy environment, higher risk-free rate, difficult for many people. But with a higher discount rate, you're just going to be very certain on the quality of those earnings and the guidance 3 years out.
Yeah, George, we've got about a minute left. I just want to lob in another volatility grenade for you. The energy sector has a number of catalysts on both the supply and demand side. What's your outlook around this space in 2023?
Yeah, so 2023, most people like us are taking profit very quickly. It's been a very good performer year to date. Quite clearly, energy transition requires LNG. Anyone with that in their portfolio is a key participant in the energy transition globally in the developed world and then the developing world, so good tailwind structurally. But there's more regulatory risk in the developed world with energy exporters and extractors. We still like exporters, but given the very strong performance, we continue to take profits into 2023, and there will be regulatory risk and lower profit outlook in 23 versus 22. But nevertheless, it'll be a good contributor to aggregate earnings in the developed world going forward.
All right, George, thank you very much for being with us. George Baboris, Head of Research at K2 Asset Management.